Seems like I hear the rustling. The Lord's doing something. Anybody else? Don't want to get ahead of God. All right. Matthew chapter number 6. We've been thinking, preaching on Sunday night now for a few weeks on praying. And I told you this morning that we needed to be more public with our testimonies, allow the Spirit of God to move through us. But what I'm going to tell you tonight is that the key to that is your private time with God. You'll not have much of a public life before God if you don't have a private life with Him. And that has to do with prayer. I believe with all my heart the sincerest form of worship is private prayer. And we've been looking at how to pray. I'm talking about it. I'm going to cover a subject tonight that you've probably... It's probably been 15 years for most of you or longer since you've heard preached on what I'm about to preach on tonight. Now, it used to be a subject that a lot of preachers preached on. It was a popular subject to preach on. And it's still in the Bible. But the problem with it is it's hard. Things that's hard... people won't do things that people won't do. Preachers feel like there's no need to preach on it. So they abandon it. Let's look and see what the Bible said on the relationship of fasting to prayer. Look at verse 16 of chapter 6. Jesus, this is red words here. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing around here today. God, it's been a wonderful day to be in the house of God. If I didn't say another word tonight, I could say that it has been a great day for the cause of Christ. Tonight, I need your help, Lord. As we stand to preach, I pray, God, that you would empower us. Lord, speak to us and through us. Help us, God, as only you can, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on the subject of the relationship between fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. That used to be something you heard the old-timers talk about a lot. Fast and pray. Fast and pray. Your grandmother's generation... they fasted and prayed. Everybody in here, your mama and papa, they fasted and prayed. But to fast, we're going to see tonight, means that we have to do without something we like. People aren't up for that these days. They want to, the problem with most Christians is that they want to serve God as long as it's number one, convenient, and number two, comfortable. But the problem is that serving God is rarely ever convenient or comfortable. It's almost always inconvenient, and it's almost always uncomfortable. So I talk to you a little bit tonight about fasting and praying. I'm going to ask everybody in the service tonight that you'd consider it. And I'm going to explain it to you now. There are those that would say fasting is just an Old Testament concept. Not to worry about it. No need in thinking about it. Fasting, that's Old Testament. It's not mentioned a lot in the church epistles. And I'll say this right off the cuff. I cannot find a Bible command that tells us that we have to fast. I cannot find a Bible command. But I can find many instances in the New Testament where fasting is mentioned. It's mentioned in Matthew 17:21, Mark 9:29, Luke 2:37, Acts 10, Acts 13, Acts 14, and even in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. And so to say that it does not have a New Testament precedent is a lie. There are New Testament precedents for praying and fasting. And I want to talk to you about it tonight. Now, we can see in these verses that I just read to you that while it was not a command, you can see that the Lord expected His disciples to fast. Look what He said in verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast. He didn't say, moreover, if ye fast. He didn't say, moreover, if you decide to fast. But He looked at His disciples and He expected them to fast. He said, moreover, when you fast. And so we know that the Lord expected it out of His disciples and put His stamp of approval on it here in these verses. And certainly if those two things are the case, then it can't be wrong for us to fast and pray. But if we're going to fast tonight, we need to know a few things. Number one, we need to know what fasting is. What is it? Number two, we need to know how it's done. How do we fast? And number three, we need to know what fasting accomplishes. I want to look at those three things scripturally tonight. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to put out of your mind what you think you know about fasting. Would you forget that? Because the majority of what people think they know about fasting is not scripturally founded. So put that out of your mind. And let's think about what it means to fast and pray. Number one, let's think tonight for just a few minutes about what is fasting. Now, fasting is made as an aid to prayer. Jesus, in these verses here, just prior, was a great discourse on prayer. When He got done talking about prayer, He immediately began to talk about fasting. Now, you don't have to fast to pray, but every time you fast, you must pray. Because those two things go hand in hand. In other words, you can pray without fasting, but you cannot fast without praying. If you fast without praying, you're doing yourself no good. The object of fasting is to make more time for prayer. That's the object of it. Some people think it's some kind of a magic hocus pocus sort of a thing. They'll just not eat and somehow magically things will go to happening in their life. Well, if you don't eat long enough, there'll be one magical thing that will happen, and that is you'll lose weight. That's magical, amen? And you can say, look at me, I've lost weight. That's magical. But other than that, nothing else magical is going to happen by your just not eating. When it comes to fasting, it must be linked up with prayer. Prayer and fasting go hand in hand. And if you're going to fast, you've got to pray. Now that seems elementary. Everybody thinks that they understand that. But I want you to think about the times in your life that you tried to fast, those of you that have. Often many of you, and myself included, we wake up in the morning and what happens? It's breakfast time. Oh, we're hungry. Fix me up. Oh, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. I'm not going to eat. So what do we do with that time? Scroll on Facebook, get ready, print, whatever we're going to do, drive out the road. Comes lunchtime. Boy, I'm starved to death. I sure would like something to eat. Oh, that's right, I'm fasting. I forgot. I can't eat. I'm fasting. But see, we're wasting our time. You just as well to eat because it's doing you no good if it doesn't push you to a life of prayer. Fasting and prayer must go hand in hand in order for it to have any effect. And so when Jesus talked about fasting, He taught it and talked about it in the context of prayer. So fasting is an aid to prayer. But then let me say this to you. Fasting is an abstinence from anything that the flesh enjoys. We think about it in the realm of food. Fasting means we're not going to eat food. But in reality, fasting can be an abstinence from anything your flesh enjoys. You might abstain from Facebook. You might fast from Facebook. That'd be a blessing. You might fast from the TV. You might fast from the radio. You might fast from anything that you can think of, bass fishing, deer hunting, whatever it is that your flesh enjoys, you can fast from it. You can say, I'm going to take a fast from that. I'm not going to do that. But again, it doesn't make you spiritual if you just don't do it. What you've got to do is take that time that you would normally spend doing those things and spend that time in prayer. That's the aid that fasting gives to prayer, is that it takes you abstain from something that you would want to do, and you take that time that would take you away from prayer time and you use that as a time to pray. For instance, if you're going to fast against, if going to fast on Facebook, let's say, fast from social media. And so you take the Facebook app off your phone, because that's the only way you can never fast from it. Forget about it. You leave that app on the phone, you're going to be on there. All right, you're standing in the grocery line. I want you to think about it. You're standing in the grocery line, what's the first thing you do? You're bored, right? So you reach in there and you get your phone out. Let's see what they said on Facebook. Oh, it's time to move. Let's see what they said on Facebook. So you're standing in the grocery line, you're bored, pick your phone up. Oh, that's right, I don't have Facebook on my phone anymore. What do? You're standing there in that line, Lord Jesus, would you help us? Lord, just help us have a good day. Just praying about something that you've got on your mind. Pray right there in the line at Ingles. Sure, right there in the line at Ingles. You take that time that you would otherwise be wasting on something that appeals to the flesh, and you spend that time in prayer. That's an effective prayer. That's how fasting becomes effective in your prayer life, because it makes more time for you to be able to pray. You're doing away with things that your flesh wants, and you're taking that time and you're spending that time in prayer. That's what it is. That's all it is. It's not a magic hocus pocus. It's not, you know, you can just do it and set a day for it and everything's going. No, it's to make more time to pray. As a matter of fact, real effective fasting, I want you to think about this, Wendy. Real effective fasting probably comes from a desire to pray that is so strong that you really don't want to do anything else but pray. Have you ever had something so strong on your heart that you wanted to pray about? You were so burdened over it. It wasn't that you decided not to eat. It was that you decided you could not eat. It took your appetite. It took your mind. You didn't want to be out on the lake. You didn't want to be. You wanted to be praying because you were under a burden for that. That's probably the most effective form of fasting. When prayer, so the need and the desire for prayer so overwhelms you that you have a desire to do nothing else. Now, what is fasting? Then, how's it done? Okay, we understand, preacher, what it is. How is it done? Well, number one, fasting, as is taught right here in these verses, is always done in private. I know some fellows that fast. You know how I know? They told me. You know what that means? They're wasting their time. They just wells to eat or get on Facebook or whatever it is they're going to do if they got to run around and tell everybody they're doing it. You ever met somebody that had a real good prayer life, and the way you knew they had a real good prayer life is they told everybody how much they prayed. They told everybody how much they fasted. Met somebody that's real spiritual, and the way you knew they was real spiritual is they told everybody they met how spiritual they were. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're spiritual, you'll not have to tell people about it. They'll see it in your life. And as a matter of fact, the teaching of these verses was that not only should you not tell somebody when you're fasting, but indeed you should do your best to hide it. Jesus said, don't disfigure the face. Don't act like it's something terrible, but instead put a smile on. Don't run around complaining to everybody about how hard it is. If you're going to do that, don't do it. Jesus said it's something personal between you and God. Maybe I'll get two or three amens right here. I believe the problem with the church is the only personal time that we get with the Savior is what time you're sitting at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's the majority of the problem in our lives, is that we don't have personal time on Monday morning. We don't have personal time on Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. The personal time that I spend alone with God, that's not your business. It's my business. I hadn't ought to be out bragging about it and tell, oh, I've spent so much time in prayer. Oh, I spent so much time. The Lord said, keep that to yourself. Keep that to yourself. Amen. So there's this thing of this personal relationship, private. He said, keep it private. So fasting is to be done privately. Now, secondly, fasting should never be done mechanically. Now, I'm about to blow up what you think that you've been doing that's been fasting. I'm about to blow it up. Here's what you say. Starting tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, I'm going to fast and not eat anything all day tomorrow. And so you set your clock for 6:15. You get up and stuff all the carbs you possibly can in your mouth. Gorge for 35 minutes and think, well, maybe that'll keep me full all day. So it won't be. And it's a mechanics to you. It's a mechanical thing. You've made up your mind, I'm going to do it. You've set a time, and then you set an end time, and that end time seems like a glorious finish line to you that you can't wait to get there. I got a preacher friend last year. He's hooked on sodas. And so he fasted from Mountain Dew and from Dr. Pepper, all them sodas that he drunk. And by the end of that fast, I was talking to him one day that the next day it was going to be over. And he said, man, I cannot wait to have a Dr. Pepper. And we've all done that, right? Just be honest. If you fasted, chances are that's the way you fasted. There's a mechanic to you. And you set that goal and you were vibrating. I want that Dr. Pepper. But I'm going to tell you tonight that real fasting is when God moves on you in such a way that you want to do it, you're willing to do it, it's a joy to do it, and so you abstain from whatever it is God laid on your heart to abstain from, and you don't set no finish line, it's not a race to get there, you just abstain from it until you feel confident that you've prayed through and you've heard from heaven. That's the kind of personal experience that I'm talking about. Not setting a line, not setting a date, not doing it mechanically, but allowing God to move in your heart in concerns with prayer and fasting, and then listening to Him and doing it in such a way that it's not a burden to you, but it's a joy to get to do something for God. So, fasting is done in private. Fasting is never done by mechanics. And then fasting should never be done by any kind of Jewish habit or ritual. I hear that a lot. People are going to fast and they say things like, well, to the Jew, the fast was in the daylight hours and so you can eat at night and blah, blah, blah. It's like they're drawing up a legal contract, you know. Lord, I'm willing to do this till the sun goes down. After the sun goes down, you can forget it. I'll do what I want to. There's no wonder we don't have a lot of power with God when that's how we face every spiritual problem. Facing things spiritual to you should not be a burden, but you should find it a joy. A joy. A joy to get to do something spiritual that's going to enrich your life spiritually. Shouldn't that be a joy to us? And so we shouldn't pay any attention to any of the Jewish habits or customs. Instead, like I said, seek God, find Him, serve Him, and do it until He says stop. That's how it's done. That's how fasting is done. So next time you feel like you should fast, don't set a date and say, I'm going to start at this time and I'm going to end at this time and then count down the hours in between. You just well to not do it. Instead, pray and ask God and tell Him, give me the strength. I'm going to use this for prayer time, Lord, and I'm going to do it until You say not to do it anymore. If it's a day, if it's a week, if it's a month, I'm going to listen to heaven. I'm not even going to set the finish line. You just tell me when I've crossed it, and then I'll do something different. That's what fasting's all about. That kind of fasting will enrich your spiritual life. Then let's think about what will fasting do? What's the benefit? Why should we do it? Why should I fast? What's it going to do for me? Well, let me give you a couple thoughts right here. First of all, can I say that fasting is associated with special powers? You see, while the Lord and His inner circle was on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a problem happening down in the valley. And the problem was that there was a man whose son was possessed of a devil. And he oftentimes falls in the fire, and he oftentimes falls in the water. And the disciples tried to cast him out, but they couldn't. And so when the Lord and the inner circle came down, they asked the Lord, why were we unable to cast this demon out of this boy? And here's what the Lord said in Mark 9. He said unto them, this kind come not forth but by prayer and fasting. So the Lord said, this is a special situation. You need a little special spiritual power right here. And the particular kind of spiritual power you need, you can't get just any old way. You'll have to pray and fast. Oh my. Let me ask you something. This morning, didn't it feel good? It sure did to me. About halfway through the service, I could feel the spiritual power. Feel the spiritual power start to move and the wind go to blowing a little bit in the church. I still feel it tonight, residual power. There's things that are going to come up in your life that you're going to need a special spiritual power to handle. Most days, Kevin, I can get by with just average spiritual power. But then, and you don't always know when it's going to happen. Something will jump up that's going to require a little more. A little special touch. You need some special enhanced spiritual power. And the Lord said, when you face that kind of need, there's only one way to get it. That's by prayer and fasting. Why should we pray? Because there's times that we need special spiritual power. And apparently there's no other access to it but by prayer and fasting. Now I want you to think about this. We've been studying through the life of the Apostle Paul. Do y'all remember what happened when they sent Paul and Barnabas out on that first missionary journey? The church laid hands on them and commissioned them to go. And what did the Bible say they did? When they had prayed and fasted, the church now, the early church, when they had prayed and fasted, then they set aside Paul and Barnabas for the work. Paul and Barnabas, Brother Marvin, had laid before them something that was going to be a special spiritual challenge. Now I want you to think about it. The church was not going. The church was staying in Antioch. But they were so concerned for the work of God. They were sending forth Paul and Barnabas, and they knew that they were going to require a special spiritual power and able to be able to overcome the obstacles they were going to face. And so the church fasted and prayed on their behalf. Now, if somebody in our family gets cancer, we can fast and pray. If somebody we know has a real serious financial need, or if we have a real serious financial need, we can fast and pray. But when was the last time you thought about just fasting and praying and asking God to help these preacher boys and fill them with the Holy Ghost. Now, I ain't telling you what to do. I want God to speak to you, see? But maybe God will speak to one of you, each one of you. Maybe each one of you could pick out a preacher boy and fast and pray that God would fill him with the Holy Ghost, and fast and pray until God fills him with the Holy Ghost. You say, well, that ain't my family. Why should I care that much about it? See, that's the problem. If we want the church to go forward, that church at Antioch, they fasted and prayed and sent Paul and Barnabas forth. Maybe we need some people at the church that would just say, I'm going to fast and pray and get real serious about me. And so, I'm going to fast and pray for my pastor. I'm going to fast and pray for 10-8 Ministries. I'm going to fast and pray for one of these preacher boys. Pray that God just fill them up with the Holy Ghost and set them on fire and use them. Maybe God will move on one of you to do that. It don't mean that you're going to have to go without food. Might be. Lord may tell you to fast from food. Lord may tell you to fast from media. Fast, whatever it is. What I'm telling you tonight is that it's an aid to prayer. It goes together. It's old fashioned. Fell out of vogue. Nobody talks about it anymore because, like I said, it's hard. And that means people won't do it. But I'm telling you, I believe the Lord's got us on the threshold of a new spirit. Just being able to cross over and see some things happen at the church. But we'll not have that special spiritual power unless some of you get under a burden to fast and pray. Don't tell nobody. Just do it. Don't set no date. Just do it. And you just do it, and do it with joy in your heart. Use the time for prayer. And tell the Lord, when I'm across the finish line, you let me know. Just wait and see what it is God might do. What God might do. You never can tell. Fasting and praying. I don't know if this will be my last message on prayer. I don't know. I've got some more thoughts. But I don't know if the Lord will let me preach them or not. But if this is my last message on prayer, if I could tell you one thing about it, it would be to just do it. Do it. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Pray without ceasing. Get rid of the sin in your life. Pray according to the promises of God. Fast and pray without letting anybody know. See if God couldn't do something in your life too. In our church. In our church. Let's stand our feet. Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us to preach this subject of fasting and praying. God, I just pray that you'd touch some hearts tonight. I'd love for some hearts to get touched about that spirit, that need for that special spiritual power in their life. Well, thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would there be some folks in the church house tonight that just like to come ask the Lord? Maybe you just want to come ask the Lord if he wants you to fast. Just so you could hear from heaven on that. You say, preacher, I'm at least interested enough to move out of my pew and get in that altar and ask the Lord, do you want me to fast? If so, what do you want me to fast from? Just make it real to me. Do you want me to? And if so, what from? How much? Just consider it. Think about it. Think about it. Hear from the Lord. Hear from the Lord. Father, we've had some volunteers come forward tonight. They're just asking, Lord, do you want them to fast? They're just asking. I pray through the Holy Spirit that you'd speak to their hearts, each one. And Lord, if there's a need, if you want them to fast, make it plain to them what to fast from, how long, all those things. I pray that you'd reveal that to them, let them know it. God's sitting back there in the congregation. They wasn't sure whether they should come or not. Might be a little afraid what you're going to ask them to fast from. Can't help but think that. Lord, I pray that you'd go back there in the pew. Don't let them out of it. Go back there in the pew tonight. Just settle down in their heart. Speak to them about it. Lord, help them to have a soft heart and hear what you've got to say. Lord, we want to thank you for a great day. This has been one of the greatest Sundays I've had in a long time. And Lord, I want to thank you for it. God, I pray that you continue to move and continue to work and help. Touch everyone that's gathered around this altar tonight for prayer. God, help us throughout this week just to be sensitive to what you'd have for us to do. And we'll thank you for all it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You stay till you get done.